Okay, thanks for coming. I think this is the last session of the day. And it's the last, but it's okay. This is a repeat session. I had a great turnout for the first, like the whole room was full. So they asked me to come back and do it again. So, thanks for coming. If you guys want to like hunch a little bit closer, we could have more of a, little user group feel in there. So I'm gonna do the same thing I did. I might, if we end if earlier or later, I can actually, since there's only a few of us in the room, you can ask me questions and that kind of thing. I don't feel like, overwhelmed. So, I'll try and placate to anything that you need answered. So my name is Beth Massey. I work on the Visual Studio team at Microsoft. We build the tools for Office and SharePoint, Azure. We actually on our team we have managed languages and .NET framework, so the core we're called cloud platform tools, and we also build Visual Studio Lightswitch is also part of our team. So today I'm going to talk to you about some of the really awesome features that we released in Visual Studio 2012 Update 2 in April, in beginning of April. So if you guys, is everybody on Visual Studio 2012? Yes? Yes? Okay. So as long as you have Update 2 installed, everything I show you today you'll be able to build when you get home, okay? All right, so let's get started. Okay, so who of you, I know a couple people in the room know what Lightswitch is. Who of you don't have any idea what Lightswitch is at all? Okay, so let me go over this then. So you can think of Lightswitch as really just a rapid application development environment inside of Visual Studio, so a set of designers and tools that help you build business productivity applications, heavy-duty data entry applications or data-centric applications, or basically you can create data services. Okay, so you can aggregate data sources, and Lightswitch does all the plumbing code for you for managing the CRUD against those data sources. It also has a whole set of libraries on the client side as well, so that it has a nice rich, it creates a nice rich application for you without having to write the dirty checking and the things that you would always do over and over again, writing these typical types of business applications. All right, so the cool thing about Lightswitch is it provides this roadmap. So, like, as your users start to, get more and more using the application, you need better scalability. You can deploy it a different way without having to make code changes. Okay, so for instance, you can start, simple. You can have your own IIS box under the desk type of thing with a couple users. And, as they, more and more people use it, you can either scale that out to your own ISP or even Windows Azure. And we're going to deploy to Azure at the end of the talk today. Actually, in the end of the day, you're building a web application, but we abstract a lot of that stuff away from the developer, okay, so that you can concentrate on the business rules and the business value of the business application. I put this quote down at the bottom. This was probably if I, I really liked this. This sentence that came from one of our, he's not an MVP, he's just a community guy in Belgium. He's really, they use a lot of Lightswitch inside of their enterprise. And he has a great blog that goes very deep into like what you can do with Lightswitch. But he always says that Lightswitch is simple on the outside, but it's very rich on the inside. So we kind of progressively expose the APIs, and as you need to, you can get deeper and deeper. But it looks simple for a reason. Okay, it's all about productivity. So Lightswitch, these are the sweet spots, what types of applications you can build. Lightswitch was first released in July 2011, and we were targeting the desktop business apps. Okay, so that's still a target. They're optimized for your heavy-duty data entry, legacy app integration via COM kind of stuff. It sits on the desktop. But we've enabled these new scenarios in Visual Studio 2012 Update 2, where we can also create mobile applications, the mobile client. It's an HTML5 JavaScript client, and that's what we're going to build today. So those are optimized for touch, okay, touch-oriented. You'll see a lot of the controls have tap events, those sorts of things. That's kind of where we targeted mobile-first is our target on that. Then I also did a talk yesterday on SharePoint. We also enable you to host your applications that you build with Lightswitch into SharePoint, as well as work with SharePoint assets and data and that sort of stuff. Okay, so if you are, running a portal, typically a lot of times in an enterprise, they want SharePoint as their application portal. It also manages all of the user permissions, authorization, and a lot of that sort of thing. So Lightswitch can also play well with SharePoint now. Okay, so here's the kind of summary of the roadmap of versions that we've had. Like I mentioned, the first version was focused on the desktop app scenario. We always had support for Azure. Okay, Azure Cloud Services, have been supported and they are still supported. When we released our second version, we decided that the middle tier layer, the communications layer, should be OData. Before it was RIA services, we swapped out the middle tier, and now you have these open data services. You create a data service when you're modeling data inside of Lightswitch. We also added support for Azure websites when Azure websites lit up, I think it was a year ago. And then the latest version is the HTML5 and the SharePoint integration. We also then, now that we have an HTML5 client, we don't want you to get like left in the dust as jQuery, because our client is built on top of jQuery and jQuery Mobile. As those at libraries rev, we wanted to make sure that you could also rev Lightswitch as well. So there's an opt-in, NuGet opt-in package you download, and it updates the client runtime for Lightswitch so that it's compatible with the latest version of jQuery. Okay. So Visual Studio updates, you get new designers and design experiences, but when you just do the client runtime update, you basically get compatibility with writing custom controls and that sort of thing with jQuery Mobile, okay? So that's how we're kind of doing that release. So here's some of the features that we've added in the latest version. Does anybody currently have a Lightswitch app? Do you have a Lightswitch app, Chris? You'll notice a lot of performance improvements. Okay, we reduce the OData team, now supports JSON Lite on the wire, and so we were able to reduce the payload size a lot by using JSON Lite, so you'll see performance there. But really, we were focused around the HTML client and the SharePoint apps. But we also opened up the server application context, so you can actually write custom services on the service layer and get at all the business rules and data and all that value that you've built inside of the Lightswitch sent middle tier. So if we have time, actually, I'll show you. We can just write a web API method and then maybe like throw a chart on the screen or something like that. We also now you can localize in multiple languages instead of just one language. We support multiple languages. So for the two people over there that have not heard of Lightswitch before, I want to just kind of go walk through the development experience of what you do in Lightswitch. You always start with data in Lightswitch, whether that's connecting to data or modeling data. So you're describing your data. You spend a lot of time in your data model describing your data. And then you create screens. We have templates that get you started. You can customize those screen templates if you want, but get you started. And at this end of that, you have a forms over data. Okay, without writing code, it's just more of about design experience. Although I've never seen a business app without some code in it, so you are going to end up authoring business logic. There are a lot of hooks in the save and updates save pipeline and query pipeline that you can add code, any types of code you need to do processing on the data. You also are probably going to customize the screens. You're going to do branding. We allow you to do like a picture, branding your application by putting logos and stuff on. And then you're probably going to have defining queries as your data size sets get larger. You don't want the users to see all the data. So that's the three main design experiences: data designer, screen designer, and query designer. And then the coding experience is the editor. Although we know that there's always going to be an app that needs something that we didn't plan, something that's out of the box. We wanted to make sure you didn't have a glass ceiling with Lightswitch. So you have a whole extensibility model inside of Lightswitch. There's over 100 extensions on the VS Gallery that you can use that do all sorts of things for reporting and Office integration and custom controls and all sorts of stuff. And data sources as well, like Dynamics CRM and Salesforce and all that stuff, the connectors for that. Okay, and you can write your own. You can write your own custom controls. When it comes to the HTML client, it's actually very easy. We've just basically allowed you to tap into the entire ecosystem of jQuery and jQuery Mobile, those are the widgets and libraries available to you. You can just take those and use those, and I'll show how we can do that by just downloading some controls over NuGet. So your Lightswitch architecture, what's really being built? I mentioned Lightswitch is simple on the outside, but it's rich on the inside. Lightswitch makes the technology choices for you. If you were going to be building a business application, you probably would pick Entity framework running in ASP.NET, you know, you probably pick, you know, maybe HTML5, you know, that kind of, those kind of choices are made for you. So the architecture really is built on best practices and tier design. The data service there is open, right? That's kind of like your interface into the middle tier. If you wanted to build custom clients, say you don't want a Silverlight 5 or an HTML5 client, you can go ahead and use that, at least reuse your middle tier to create, you know, your WPF client or your Windows Store apps or that sort of thing. Okay, so also in the box, we're going to be able to connect to data sources. If you have an entity framework provider installed, you can connect to those databases and data sources. Okay, so we're using entity framework. Out of the box, you get SQL Server, SQL Azure, SharePoint, and other OData services can be sources of data. Excuse me. So here's the data service architecture I mentioned. So if Lightswitch clients use the services endpoints that are created automatically for you, I mentioned as you model data, you are modeling data services, really. And other OData clients would use the same interfaces to access that data. And your business rules and the pipeline would run exactly the same. So Lightswitch is creating a client experience too for you, but you just keep in mind that you could actually just deploy the middle tier. Okay, you could use Lightswitch to aggregate multiple data sources, write business logic around that, and then expose that to, you know, Excel users or that sort of thing. Okay, because Excel can consume OData. All right, so keep in mind that this is happening under the covers, and I'll show you how the services. I'll show you how they're built. So Lightswitch, I mentioned, is a very flexible deployment model. There's a lot of different hosting options available for Lightswitch, especially now that we have, you know, we can deploy into SharePoint as well. So depending on whether you're going with the cloud or on-premise, you can make certain decisions. Lightswitch, when you're modeling the data inside of Lightswitch, it needs to be deployed to a SQL Server database. What we support flavors of, you know, 2005 Express all the way up to SQL 2012. And on the client side, you, depending on what you pick, if you're doing a desktop application, that's a Silverlight 5 app, that was going to run on Windows or Mac. You can have an out-of-browser or Windows if you need to work with COM or legacy, you know, or maybe an iScanner or a printer or that kind of thing. Or you, with your mobile applications, we support HTML5 browsers. So what's the level of support for HTML5 browsers? Right now, you know, iOS 5 and 6, Android 4, WinRT, Windows Phone 8, those all support, like the IE 10, those all support HTML5 standard very well. So those are the best devices that you can use. And then if you wanted to deploy into SharePoint, you could deploy either the in-browser Silverlight client or the HTML5. Okay, so SharePoint, you just can't have an out-of-browser SharePoint because you're outside of SharePoint. Okay, so what we're going to talk about HTML client today. We're going to build an HTML client. And some of the design goals on the team, we really wanted to have this mobile first. Okay, so because we already had a desktop solution, we want this, you know, you can think of sometimes as just building a companion application to your already, you know, your business apps that you have internally behind the firewall. Now you want to take this whole bring your own device that you probably heard in the keynote, this movement of, you know, of users demanding to get their work done on their personal devices. We're, as application developers, we're trying to figure out how to get that business data out of our enterprise and onto those devices. And typically, we don't want to have, especially for these types of applications, we don't want to have to write native clients for all of the myriad of devices that they might have. So going with a standards-based HTML5 and JavaScript lets you hit more of the breadth of devices out there. Okay, so you write it once, and it just runs everywhere type of thing. It runs everywhere that HTML5 on modern devices. Okay, so, and we also wanted to allow you to take advantage of that whole ecosystem, that whole JavaScript ecosystem of people writing code, widgets, libraries, that sort of thing. Okay, so I think that you'll agree that it's kind of unrealistic sometimes for an enterprise to build native applications for all of these types of data entry applications don't necessarily need that level of richness. Okay, they are very well satisfied with the HTML5. Okay, so let's, there's the versions again. These are the client-supported platforms, like I mentioned, and IE10 should be here, so that would be Windows RT is there, or on your desktop. Okay, so I like to go through slides first and get them out of the way and go into a demo. This is Lightswitch. Two people have never seen Lightswitch. This is Lightswitch. I already have a project ready, kind of started. This is the Data Designer. This application, this scenario, is a moving company, Contoso Moving. They have, this is their business app that they use at the office. They take phone calls, customers want to move, somebody types in, you know, the customer information, sets up an appointment, and does that all, you know, through their mouse and keyboard. Now, what happens, though, is when they actually perform the moves, the workers are subcontractors. They don't actually work for the actual company. They're subcontractors. But they all have devices. And so we want to allow them to take photos and maybe tweak the information that maybe while they're doing the move. And so what we're trying to do is just extend this application with HTML client. Now, this app is in version 2 of Lightswitch right now. Okay, so I'm going to just run it real quick and show you. So you see we have appointments and customers and all that stuff. When we model the data in Lightswitch, we're actually creating these data services. This is just the front end here. You can see the upcoming appointments we've got here for all of our employees. If we click into them, you'll see that there's a parent child here from rooms and some notes and that sort of thing. So they're kind of sitting in here in this desktop app. What's really going on here is we've got this OData service sitting behind. Okay, so if we wanted to get all the customers, there we go. So all the business logic and stuff is going to run no matter what client is using it. This is an IE client, just hitting it directly. Okay, so you're modeling that data, you're modeling the data services. So you have access to this in any other client platform that you want to use. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a look at some of the business logic that we have. Some of the business logic, this is simple, it's a simple application, but here's the business logic where when they are assigning or creating appointments, they're assigning employees to do the job. There's some logic to say, well, who's the least busy? Who has the least appointments there? We're also doing personalization, so we have upcoming appointments for all employees, but we also have upcoming appointments where the employee username is equal to the logged in, the application user.name, okay? That's whoever's logged in. So the context, the IIS context, already authenticates the user, and so you have the user identity at all times on your middle tier here. Okay, so that's just some of the business logic that's going to run no matter what. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to add a new client. So let's add a client. I'm going to add an HTML client. You can have one HTML client and one desktop client in the same Lightswitch app. At this point, it's going to ask, okay, are you going to need to upgrade to the latest version, which is version 3 of Lightswitch that was released in April. So it's just going to perform a little migration, which means that it's going to update the project system. Okay, so now you'll notice we have this extra level node here. There's a server, there's a client, and then there's the HTML client. Now, let's go ahead and add a screen. So this is the screen templates I mentioned. You get browse, you get view, you get add, edit, details. So we're going to start with a home screen here. So let's just call it home. And here's where we select our screen data. These are our queries. We could pick our queries. I'm going to do that because we're going to make it so it's personalized. So it's just my appointments that I see on my mobile device. I don't care about anybody else's. And now you've got the screen designer. So what you have here on the left side over here is your view model. Okay, so that's your data and any of the methods that you would be executing on the screens themselves. And then you have what we call it a content tree. It's a little bit more than a view. It's the visualization of the fields there bound to the data. Okay, so it's like controls and data in one. We can take a look at some of the properties that you have available when you select through some of this stuff. What I'm going to do is, this is just a list, a very simple list, and it's showing appointments. I'm going to change this so I'm going to say let's put the maybe the start date on there, and probably customer. You don't need the employee, customer name, something like that. Okay, we could actually even say Let's make the customer, you know, first and last name maybe. Okay, so you can just design the screen. Now, the reason why the screen is, the screen designer is just kind of a simple way to do the flow layout of any screen. The, no matter what client you're developing against, if you're familiar with developing on the Silverlight client, the other client, the screen designer is the same. So the development experience is the same. You're not really, you know, you don't really have to make a big mind shift if you're, you know, coming from a previous version. So let's go ahead and run this. Okay, so there you go. This is just my appointments here. You'll notice that I have a fairly large form factor here. As we start to make our screen smaller here, we have a smaller form factor, you'll notice that it adapts to that size, okay? So LightSwitch is doing all of this stuff for you. So on larger, you know, like this particular computer is going to look like this. On a phone, it would look more like this. Now we're kind of using up a lot of space here, okay? Also, by the way, I should mention that this list, if it had more than 45 records in here, as you swipe, as you scroll or swipe, it will dynamically load the next page of data for you. So it's handling all of that for you, asynchronous calls, paging, that sort of thing. What I'm saying, what I was mentioning here before was I was like, this is a lot of wasted space in this particular form factor. And what would be nicer is if we're, say, using a tablet, we're going to show this later, we want to kind of flow the layout a little bit better so we can see more of the information in a smaller area. So what we can do instead of using a list is we can use a tile list. Okay, and now it's laid out this way, but as we shrink again, it goes back to just a list. Okay, so it's a good, tile lists are good to use because it kind of, they adapt really well to different size form factors. Okay, so that's pretty huge, actually. This is actually a single-page application that LightSwitch is creating for you, and it's doing all that responsive design there. All right, so let's start getting a little bit more fun. So let's start editing the data. Let's go and say, all right, on the tap event of this list, if we go to the actions, I want to be able to view the appointment, the details. Okay, so LightSwitch has a bunch of predefined, you know, it's all about data, so you probably need to add records, update records, view records, that sort of thing. So you'll notice that it looks at our view model and says, hey, you know, here's what we could do with you. We could say you want to add an edit new, you want to edit selected, you want to view. Let's do view first. It knows that we need a new screen, so it comes back and says, hey, I think you need the view details screen. We're going to also add the related children on this. Okay, so now I'm going to just kind of make a little couple changes. I don't want the employee to make, you know, care about. They've already are looking at their own stuff. Also, I want to be able to say, let's say the customer email and phone should be viewed. So we can say other screen data, customer email. Okay. Yeah, and let's do the phone. Now these will have, you know, the HTML5 attributes. So if we were on a, if we're on a mobile phone and we click phone, it'll dial the call. Let's also move this city, state, and, you know, the notes is fine. This is fine. Okay, so let's go ahead and run this. Actually, and the other, let's go ahead and run this. I was going to do one more thing, but let's run it. Okay, so now I'm just looking at the details. You'll see that there's hyperlinks here now. There are links on, if I was on a phone, we'd be able to email directly or make a phone call. And again, as we start to shrink the size, you'll notice that now you just all in a row this way. Okay, so that's going to look good on many different devices. Doesn't look like we have any phone. Okay, we have one room in this particular one. If we had many, many rooms, there's more. So we could change this into a tile list. We could drill more into it, that kind of thing. Let's do some editing of data. Okay, how do we kind of edit data? What does it look like? How can you control it a little bit? We're going to go back over to our home screen, and let's just do, in the command bar, actually, let's do this. Let's go back, I was going to say, let them add appointments. Let's just let them edit the appointment. That sounds like more sense to me. So I'm going to just add in here a button that's edit the selected record. We're going to, not a photos, hold on. I just just picked the wrong one. See how it lists everything in your view model? I can do different actions to different things. Well, I want to edit the appointment. Okay, we'll do the photos in a bit. Okay, I'm just gonna just put the appointment details on this screen. And now I don't want them to change, they should be at the customer at this point, so I don't want them to change their appointment date. That wouldn't be good. And their move type doesn't need to be changed. But if we messed up in the office, if we messed up the customer's address information, or even if we messed up some of the customer information, let's just add some, last name and first name, phone, email. Let's just do that. Okay, that's kind of a good idea. So let's see how this looks. Okay, so now you'll see edit the appointment right here. And actually what we can do is, I don't like the icon. That was like the default icon. Instead of actually always hitting F5 and stopping, you can actually just go back in and we could just say, okay, you know what, I messed up. I want this, the view appointments. Okay, this guy right here is not a star. I should want it to be like an edit, which we have somewhere. Edit right here. Okay, and that's all reading from CSS. You could change the CSS there, but there's like 30 different, I think, ones you can choose from. Okay, now we just save the file. So it's like an edit and refresh kind of thing. So I'm not really having to rebuild. As long as you don't add any code, should be fine. So now it's edit. All right, now notice when I edit, you get a dialog. So this is the edit, add, edit, dialog. Okay, so I shouldn't have put the employee on here, but we could do notes. This is a note, or here, a real note. Don't be late is a good note. Okay, you'll see what if we have validation and stuff, say if I type an email that's not an email, it's an invalid format. Okay, so you have to be and this is all declarative. It's based on the data model. We have a concept of business types, and one of those is an email address. So we can do something like that. .zom.com. There we go. And as I tab out, it automatically goes away. Same with phone number. There's validation on the phone number as well. All right. We save. It's all doing that CRUD for us. Now, what if we don't like the dialogue situation? If you notice, like it's kind of, maybe it's shocking, or maybe you don't like it, but it's nice because as you shrink up the form factor, it will take up, the dialog just takes up the whole screen. Okay, so, but if say you want it to always take up the whole screen, there's a lot of little options that you can make. So if I wanted it to always take up the whole screen on the edit appointment, add edit appointment, we can go click the dialog itself, and you can say whether or not you actually want to show it as a dialog or not. Okay, so it's up to you. The other thing is if you are kind of like, as you think about designing for mobile devices, you don't want to like expose the whole set of fields potentially at one time. Sometimes you just want key fields and then maybe an advanced section and give them more information. So if you're going to just need a little bit extra information, or you're going to want a little pop-up, a pop-up is something that's related to the context of the screen. We can just put a pop-up in here. All right, these are reusable across your application, but here's a good example. Let's go back to our home. Here's a little pop-ups area. Say we want to have the user like filter really quick. Just do a filter. I need to find that customer. Where's that customer? Smith, okay? I got 15 appointments, and I'm just trying to, instead of scrolling around, just give me a filter. So we could go to the upcoming appointments here in our view model. We just edit the query. We can add a filter right here. I'm going to say, where the customer, say maybe last name contains. Now this is our query designer, if you've never seen it before. Let's make it a parameter, new parameter. I'm going to make it optional. If you don't make it optional, they wouldn't see it. They'd be forced to add a filter. Okay, let's do that. And now you'll notice light switch is like, okay, you got a last name parameter. I'm like, oh yeah, so we're going to need to add a pop-up. And I'm going to call the pop-up filter. And now we just take the last name, we'll just drag it over there onto the screen. And now you'll see that it's already automatically added a screen parameter into our view model, and the input of that is going to feed into the query. All right. So I don't have to write any code for that. This is just very common business application patterns. Okay. All right, so now we just need to call the pop-up. I mean, it might, if I had a lot of information here, I mean, the last name isn't going to take up too much space, so we might just, you know, might just like forget I don't want to pop up. But if you had more optional parameters, last name, first name, phone number, that kind of thing, you're not going to want to take up all those space at the top of the mobile device, right? So I'm going to just go ahead and add. It says show pop-up filter. It's automatically set for me. Okay, and actually we do have a filter icon. All right, so now we have this little show filter down at the bottom, and I could say, all right, the last name, I don't know, Wang, I think. There's a Wang, there's a Toe, here's a Toe. Okay. Or if I just said T-O, T-U, there's a T, okay. Is there an M? There's an M. It's, it contains, right? There's an M in that last name. I don't have a ton of, there's an A. Hey, there's an A, okay. All right, so, and if you just touch outside of it, it just goes away. Okay, so that's the difference between dialogues and pop-ups. You have flexibility on how you display the data to the user. Okay, so now I'm going to move. Are there any questions? Because there's only a few on that. Yeah, you have a question? Come on up to the mic, and I'm cool because it's just we can wait till afterwards. Or you have a question? I'm fine with these guys. There's not very many of you. Okay, we'll wait till later. All right. So I'm going to move on to customization. What you'll notice is this the set of tiles. It's, I don't know, I don't really like the format of them. I kind of want to show the phone number. I want something a little more meaningful on the home screen. When I look at my appointments, I want to see the I want to see the day and the time and the customer name and their phone number. But I want them I want it formatted a little bit better. I don't like how the dates are formatted like this. So I'm going to write a little bit of code on the client side to kind of make this tile look a little bit better. Now, there are hooks in the designer to allow you to do a couple things with when you want to write JavaScript. So let's go back over to, let's go back over to our home screen. Excuse me. So I'm going to take over the rendering of this row layout. Okay. So I still want the tile list to render, but I want to take over the rendering of the rows layout. So I'm going to switch this to what's custom control. Okay. And actually, I pretty much don't even need that, but we can do, let's wipe that out. I just want a custom control underneath that. If you go into write code, you'll see now it's up to me to render this control. So let's go ahead and render the control. What we're getting passed into us is the element, which is the DOM element. So that's the point at which, you know, we're handing off the DOM. We're saying, okay, are you going to make some changes to it? We need you to render this control. Go ahead and stick your control in here. And then your content item. I mentioned you have a content tree, and those things are in content items within it. So the content item in this case is the appointment. So you have, you know, the content. I don't have IntelliSense on this right now. Don't worry about that. The content item has value. It has a lot of metadata around the control and the data itself. Okay, so you use that to get the data, really. So I'm not going to type a bunch of JavaScript. My JavaScript editor is. I'm not good at JavaScript yet. Let's put it that way. I'm getting better. So what I'm doing here is I'm using jQuery, so I'm just, you know, creating a item template, okay, that's just a div tag, and then I'm creating a title, h3, and I'm using a library called Moment to format my dates, okay, so, and then I'm just also displaying the first name, last name, and their phone number in here. Then I'm just, you know, this is the title, the subtitle, I'm just creating that template, okay, and I'm appending that to the DOM element, okay, so I'm just kind of saying, here, this is how I want to render this. Now, I'm using this JavaScript library, so let's go flip over to this view. Okay, we were looking at logical view of our application. There's a file view of the application, the Solution Explorer as well. And if you're familiar with, you know, Visual Studio, this might look more familiar to you. There's a set of projects here. Okay, so we have the server project, we have the client HTML client project. And what I can do is I can just get this library that I need. Going to go back to stable and moment. Okay, so there's moment. It's just a lightweight JavaScript date library. Okay, we're going to install it. Now I need to add a reference to it, basically. So we're going to go in our default HTML, and we're going to add a reference to our JavaScript here. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and run this. Oh, and I screwed that one up. Why did I do that? All right, I think I know what I did wrong. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is correct though now. One second. Sometimes this happens, I don't know why. I think it has to do with the columns that I did, so I'm just gonna do this again real quick. Instead of that, we'll just select the custom control. I'm pretty sure this will work. I just need to stick it in here. Let's see if I fix that. It's the last day. I'm tired. Hey, okay, there we go. Okay. All right, so yeah, so when I started tweaking with the templates and the row layout and the columns layout, I messed it up. But basically, I just dragged that back over, created a tile list, so it's still tile list. But now I custom control inside of the template, okay? The appointment is the thing we're working with here. And now we got our dates formatted nicely and that sort of thing, okay? I also messed up the tap event, but that's all right. We'll stick that back on. Okay, so that's one way to take over the rendering completely. Let's go back to logical view. The other thing we can do, and just let's just hook this back up again, because we'll need that later. The other thing we can do is we can, instead of taking over the entire rendering of the control itself, we can just maybe make small tweaks to stuff by using what's called, the method is called post-render. Okay, so what I'm going to do is some data binding. So when we go to this view appointment screen, you notice it says view appointment. What I'd like to say is let's put the customer name and the appointment time as the screen title. So when a user on their mobile device is looking at the appointment, they can just see that real easy. Okay, so we're going to use the method called post-render in this case. So if we go in and let's go to, that's the view appointment. Okay, we're going to see the details tab. So what I want to do is I want to take the details tab, and you'll notice I'm not changing it to a custom control. If you leave the controls there, you'll see that there's a post-render event. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab some code here again. And in this case, I'm using the content items data bind method. And the value, again, the binding path, basically, is like when any time the customer's first name or last name changes, I want you to rebind the title, basically, so that it stays in sync. So it's kind of a two-way binding. So I'm just saying, you know, anytime I need, it's going to notify me of a binding firing. There's a lot of events. You can add a lot of events are happening, even in the JavaScript here, that you can capture and do something with. So that's what I'm doing in this case. So we just got the first name and last name going on that screen. So let's go ahead, and I'm using moment again as well, so to format those dates. So let's go ahead and see what this looks like. Okay, so now you see Tony Wang, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. If I go in and edit the appointment, I think Tony Wang, Tony, you know, 33333, and there's the two-way binding. Okay. Okay. So sometimes though you want to make changes like that, or you know, we also could maybe say percent complete, right? So if something is say 96% complete, maybe we want to show it as green. And if it's anything less than 90%, we'll show it in red. Okay, so things like logic, UI logic. Okay, some UI changes that way. So it's good indicator of the data state. So let's see what we could do. Similarly, we use the post render to do that. So I'm going to go back over. Let's do it on the view screen. Okay, so we're just going to do a percent complete post render. And what I'm going to do is, really, all this is just standard CSS that's being used to style the application. So you can change the CSS how you'd like, but we give you kind of like these nicer areas, the kind of like, so you're not overwhelmed with all the CSS that's inside of the application itself. We have this thing like called user customizations CSS, and this allows you to just say, okay, when I'm laying out fields on a screen, I can actually pick their font size, normal, large, normal, small. Well, you can define what that actually really means just in standard CSS. You can change the, you know, we're saying probably commonly you want to change the fonts and maybe just some colors. So I'm going to go in and add a couple classes here for my percent. Okay, percent high and percent low. Now I could do this directly in the render. I could say style equals, or you know, I could change the background or the foreground directly in there. But I kind of like using CSS because it kind of abstracts the style away. And I'm saying it's percent high and percent low. Maybe the percent low would be, you know, a different color at some point. So yeah, I don't want to go search for my code. It's better to stick it in the CSS. So we go back to our appointment, and now all we need to do is just do a little logic here. Okay, and I could also add a data bind when the binding changes. In this case, I'm not. I'm just doing it one time. But so now I'm just saying if the content item dot value, which is we're in the percent, so that's the context right there is the percent. What value is that? If it's greater than 0.9, then go ahead and make it high. Otherwise, make it low. All right, so let's go ahead and see what that looks like. Okay, so there's 96% is green, and there's 56% is red, okay? So things like that. Okay, so you have like a lot of hooks. So if you're like afraid, like if you were like me, I was afraid of learning JavaScript. I was dragging my feet. I'm like, I don't want to do this. Now it's like, oh, I can just do a little bit and just, you know, I'm getting really dangerous with it now, you know, but it's actually helping me learn from, as a .NET developer, I think Lightswitch is also a great tool for learning .NET as well, okay? So you can take this back to, like, maybe your junior programmers, give them some guidance on what your, you know, what libraries you need to use as a senior, and then they can crank these apps out, okay, like gangbusters. If you are a serious, you know, JavaScript guy, then you're going to also be able to say, hey, I don't want to create a full-blown framework for these little apps that I, you know, have, and I just need to do something really quick. So it's also just a productivity tool that way. And then, of course, you can customize the whole thing if you need. Okay, you can create your own screens or that kind of thing if you really are good. All right, so that's the post-render, the rendering, and the post-rendering. I want to show you some complex controls. Okay, so that percent complete is cool, but what would really be cool is if we added like a gauge control or something like that. So I said that you could take advantage of the whole ecosystem of JavaScript out there. So let's go ahead and I'm going to add a control that that does, I think this Widgmo component one has a great set of controls actually. We're going to add that guy in here to manage NuGet packages. It's called Widgmo. Okay, we're going to get the complete one because it has a gauge in here somewhere. Okay, so I know it does. I might have practiced this demo once or twice, so I know it has a gauge. It also has a lot of other controls. It has a lot of images and that kind of stuff, so we're adding all of that stuff in here. Now we're still going to have to add some references, so we need to go back to our default HTM. Go in there, and I'm going to stick a couple these references up here. So first we're going to need some styles. Okay, so all right, go up to the top here where our CSS is after the user customization. Let's just add in the Widgmo styles, and then we're going to need to add in the JavaScript references here. Okay, I'll stick them in here. Okay, so now we need to go back into our screen. So let's go back to the view. Let's go back into the logical view. Just open up this view. So now I'm going to do percent complete. Actually, we could just add, you know, another percent complete here. Okay. And now I'm going to make this a custom control, though, instead. And now we're going to go and render that control. Okay, so Widgmo, we're just going to need to create a gauge control. You need to read the documentation on, you know, how certain controls work, which I already did that. And it's actually fairly easy. You just create a div tag that has an ID gauge, and that wakes Widgmo up and says, ah, you want a gauge. And then I'm basically just adding that to the DOM, and then we're creating the gauge, and then we're basically updating the gauge, too, if I update the percent. And this is just how I'm passing that Widgmo linear gauge. Okay, so let's go ahead and run this. There it is. Okay, and it kind of has a little animation and that sort of thing. Okay, and if we edit the appointment, let's try a lower one. 56, there it goes. If we edit the appointment, it should, let's see, 56, where we are, 45, save. You'll see it kind of go back a little bit. So it's animated and that sort of thing. Okay, so that's just one way to incorporate custom controls. We mentioned photos too. So you can write your own libraries. I want to be able to upload photos while we're on site. Remember, that was part of our requirements, okay? So I just used a third-party control, but you could obviously write your own. So I've got a control that will upload photos. Let's add that in. So go back over to our view here. And I'm going to, actually, I can just copy over some things. I have an image uploader, script, and fallback. So we're just going to stick it in the, not the CSS, we're going to stick it in our scripts. Okay, so what it's doing is it's using this file reading. It's an HTML5 standard method of just getting a picture or a file or that kind of thing. We're also doing a little bit of a fallback if browser doesn't support it. We have to hit the server again, but this is kind of the fallback method to it, that if they don't support that HTML5 standard. Okay, so now let's use the image uploader. I wrote this. Actually, I didn't. I stole it from a team member, but a team member wrote it, so it's custom. And we're going to go into our view appointment. And now I want to, here's our photos. Notice that by default, all of the children were put on separate tabs. I could move this up, into one tab. It depends on how you want. This is good if we have a lot of data to show. We want to just have separate tabs. Let's put this as a tile list, okay, and change this maybe to a text area. We could just do this text. What I'm going to do is then put on here is add. Now we're going to go into our photos. We're going to add and edit new, so we can add new photos. It's going to create a new screen for us, the photo details. Okay, here's where I want to stick the caption as a text area, so we can explain what this photo is. I don't need the appointment because that's passed in already. But this is just viewing pictures. What we really want is to use our uploader control, so you just need to call the uploader with some parameters, passing it the element and the content item, and then just kind of formatting the height and width. Okay, so let's see how this rolls. So on a phone, it's great. Like even iOS device would be kind of cool. It's like, okay, we're going to add a photo. It'll immediately, you can take it from the camera, you can shoot the camera, and it'll put it right in there for you. So here, let's go to our photos. So you'll see add photo. You know why this is the error? I didn't add the reference to the default. I added it. You guys didn't tell me that. You were supposed to be like, oh, come on. You were setting me up for failure. I'm disappointed. Okay, so let's just go back and add the reference. Okay, right here, flip the view. Go back to our page. And now I'll just copy and paste this. Okay. No wonder it couldn't create the control. It doesn't know where it is. All right. Photos. Add a photo. There we go. Now we have the browse for photo. This is how it looks on my computer here. Let's go find a photo. Let's see. I probably have one or two somewhere. Let's see. Here's one. Pretty big building. No laughs from the crowd. The last day of Tech Ed. That's okay. All right, so that's it. So now we have a tile list of our photos, and we have an uploader. So there's a variety of things, obviously, that you could do to customize. One of the things that people are always wanting to do is change the total look and feel, the total theme of the application. And also, we want to probably brand the application as well. Let's do that. Branding is fairly easy. And we started kind of diving a little bit into the CSS, but there's also these images, and we give you like the splash screen and the user logo, and you can just replace those with yours. So I have a couple here. Okay. All right, so that's kind of that thing. The other thing is you can also customize like just the CSS itself, or you're like, I'm not a designer, but I'm not really jazzed with that light theme. We give you two themes out of the box. The light theme is the default, but we also give you a dark theme if you like that better. Okay, and this changes, like kind of flips, you know, just flips it. So all the icons and stuff are white, and the text is white, and the screen are dark color. There's my logo. The logo actually would probably look better with a lighter, but now we've got the dark theme working, okay? So what if we like still don't like either of these things? Okay, we want really to totally change the look and feel. Another thing you could do, let's go back to the light, because I want to change this and I don't like the dark so much. Okay, take the theme. Okay, so there's the dark theme, there's the light theme. Let's open the theme up. You could hand edit this. That's totally up to you. I'm not going to hand edit it. I'm going to use this thing called Theme Roller. Okay, jQuery Mobile Theme Roller. We're going to import the CSS. You'll notice this is the swatch. This is our style. It's very cool. It's very easy to modify the style visually. I can just drag and drop and kind of we'll change this to more of a green color. I like green instead of blue. I'm a big A's fan, so green and blue is better. You can put yellow on the screen, maybe. Okay, so go A's, yes. Okay, so once we're happy with that, you can modify, you know, everything. There's a bunch of stuff you can modify in here. Okay, you could get, maybe you want rounded corners of your buttons and all sorts of stuff, so you can do that all in here. All right, so we're going to download this now and call it a green theme. Now we'll just extract the theme. Okay, and I'm just going to put it in here. Here. There it is, green theme. And now we'll just go back to our default, and now we'll just change it to green. All right. So now we have a fully branded and, you know, better themed, I think, application. Okay? There's our yellow back forth. All right, cool. Easy enough? Cool? All right, let's see what we got. We got some Azure to talk about, right? We're ready to publish this thing now, okay? All right, so we're ready to publish. All right, first thing we need to do is we need to go into Azure, and we need to set up a website. So I'm going to publish this to the Azure websites. Okay, so I should have put my subscription. Where is it? I have a favorite. Into the management portal. It's really hard for me to see the computer up here. Sorry. The keys. Okay. All right. So here's my portal. I've got a few websites going already here. So let's create a new website. So we're going to go new. Okay, compute website. Custom create, because we're going to need a database. Okay, quick create wouldn't make the database. Let's call this Tech Ed Contoso. Cool. Now we are in the North Central region, so this would be a good region to pick. Except that all of my databases are in the West right now, because I'm from the West. So you always, it will actually warn you if your database is not in the same region. Actually, I don't even think it will let you create the website anymore. You should not put the website in a different region than your database. They should be in the same region. So I need to put that in the West. Okay, and then we're going to need to create a new SQL database. Okay, and that's fine. It's just choose a server. I need to put this on the server. So I only have one server. It's in the West. Okay, it takes like not even a minute. It's like a couple of seconds almost to create the website and provision the database. All right. Now, once it's ready, we're going to need to just do one thing before we publish. We need to go into our SQL database, and we need to hit this manage. And the only reason why is because it needs to add a firewall rule. It needs to trust this computer that on this particular IP address. Enabled in order to create the database. So I'm just say yes, add this firewall rule. I do a lot of these demos, so I probably have firewall rules like crazy. And then it asked me, do I really want to manage it? No, I just wanted you to add the firewall rule. Now, sometimes the firewall rule, it takes a few minutes for it to kick in, okay? So, and I don't want to wait forever, but I'm going to just publish it. And I'm going to switch the database just so, first thing I'm going to need to do is set this to release. Okay, and then we can go ahead and publish this. Now, I have security. I have authentication on this thing. Actually, I should probably point that out because a couple of you guys aren't familiar with Lightswitch. If we go back to the logical view and go into our property sheet here, you'll see the access control tab. We actually are using forms authentication. And this is so I have to require a login and password because I want to show you just your appointments. It's personalized, right? So we are just using forms authentication, so they will enter a password in there. Okay, so now I publish. Okay, we can choose between the complete application I mentioned, or I mentioned the web service only too. Okay, so you can create Lightswitch service only. We're going to do the complete app. That's the Silverlight app too, Silverlight and the HTML client. We're going to put it in Azure. Okay, and if you haven't signed in, get your credentials. You just need to get your published settings here, demo projects. And now it can choose between a cloud service and a website. So I'm going to choose the website. Because we're just publishing just this Lightswitch app. If your Lightswitch app was part of a larger cloud service that you have, you could put it inside of cloud service. Okay, so it read my subscription info, and we should see TechEd Contoso there now. Okay, and now I'm like, yes, since I have forms authentication, it's like, yes, you need to create an application administrator in here for the first time around. I'm just going to call a test user. Okay, and then you can choose whether or not you want to use HPS, whether or not you want this secure. Now, if you're in a business application, you probably want to secure the data, okay? You know, you have customer email and addresses and phone numbers and that kind of stuff. It's pretty nice when you deploy into Azure websites, HPS is already set up for you, so you can take advantage of that pretty easy. Digital signature would be if I had an out-of-browser Silverlight application, and I wanted to provide automatic updates, I would need to specify a digital signature for that. But we're using an in-browser app, so it's okay. Finally, the data connections. It's like, okay, what's this connection string for publish? That's the admin. And what is the user connection string? So these connection strings would probably have different passwords on it. Now, I'm not going to publish the schema for this example only because I won't have any data to show you, so I already have published a database. So instead of this catalog being this TechEd blah, 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 we're just going to call this Contoso move _ database. All right. Okay, so I'm just going to, I already have a database published, that's all. Okay, so let's go ahead and publish this guy. Okay, so it's just using web deploy, and there it goes. It's adding the files, and now we got this starting up. It goes back to the portal. Okay, and so here it's running. We can click on that and get the info. Here's the URL, TechEd Contoso, azurewebsites.net, but we have two clients. We have client, and we have HTML client, right? So HTML client is the one we just created. So there's the login. And the password. Oh, yeah. Okay, so there. And because I logged in as test user, I have test user set up as an employee in this system. And so now I'm seeing all of this, all of my appointments. Okay, it's different data. Okay, but it's our application. See, it's yellow and all that stuff. Okay, it's our client was published. All right, cool. So here's what it looks like on the surface. How about we take a look at it, okay, if I can get the surface to wake up. Let me log in real quick. Okay, so let me flip over. our Surface, go into Internet Explorer. This is actually one I had already written before, but let's go into the one we just published, if I can get in here. Let's just change this to TechEd. TechEd Contoso. Yep, and then I should use my finger a little bit more here. Test user. And that's actually, I changed the password. Okay, so there we go. There's, I click on it. I don't need to remember that. Okay, edit the appointment, you know, that kind of thing. I can click in. I could use the on-screen keyboard. I could use my regular keyboard. Tap out of that, go back. So you see how it's very touch-enabled. And so that's the kind of the idea. And if you guys want to log in, try it on your phones or whatever, let me flip back here and I'll give you the info. First of all, the site, let's see, the control plus. So I can zoom in here. Here it is. Go ahead, it's TechEd Contoso, AzureWebsites.net. And let me just get my real quick notepad. Okay, go back to my notepad real quick. There's that, and let me give you the password. Okay, it's test user is the username, and it's 1PASSWORD@sign. Okay, so play with it. So it's only a few people in the room. You guys got all, you got that info? Got the info? /HTML client, right? Yeah, /HTML client, right. Because there's two clients, so there's two subdirectories. If you went in /client, that's the Silverlight client, okay? All right, so party on that. Give me some pictures in there, something like that. It'd be kind of fun. Okay, and then I will make sure to shut off this thing and change the password right after this class, because this is what happens is when the recording went online yesterday, somebody went in and changed my passwords, and I was freaking out right before this session because I was running because I was trying to fix the password of the database. So you know, whatever. Every time I give access, something happens. Don't give up your passwords. Okay, so I'm just going to flip back to slides. You guys got that? That's it. Okay. Oh, here we go. Magnifier, stop. Okay, cool. So let's just recap what we did. Okay, so I wanted to, if you are used to Lightswitch and the designing the desktop client, the design time experience for designing the HTML client is very familiar. We still use the same screen designer. You have the view model on one side, the content tree in the center. So it's consistent with what our users were used to. It supports those, you know, common patterns, like I said, the dialogues, the pop-ups, being able to really think about the layout of your screen. There's a lot of flexible things you can do, laying out the screen, thinking in mind for if you have primarily, say, tablets. Say you're going to use this application only on tablets, you could put more stuff on a screen. You have options to do that. The customization, it's, you know, whatever you can do with jQuery and the libraries and widgets out there and the whole ecosystem, you can plug those things into Lightswitch. It gives you access to the DOM. It gives you access to the content tree. It gives you a lot of events for handling things and data binding and that kind of stuff. So finally, the CSS is just the easiest way to theme an application. So we wanted to make sure that you would, you know, be able to customize the look and feel with standard CSS. So Lightswitch is not doing anything weird, I guess. I guess the hands-on labs are probably closed by now, but there are a couple of them down there. If you don't, these are actually also on the internet. So let me give you a light switch. Make sure you load VS Update 2 to get everything that I showed you. It was released in April. Okay. If you want to download those labs, they're not really in lab form. They're more just like docs and some sample applications. Go to msdn.com/lightswitch. You can get to everything there, like that I'm showing here on this page, just from that developer center. Go into this, like right on this home screen, you should be able to see those samples and get them there. Okay, so any questions? Let's use the mic because it is recorded and we want to get you on recording. So if you have a question, Chris, go to the mic, please. Put your shoes back on, go. Yes, sir, what is your question?
Okay, so how do we not install the SilverLight client and just install the web client in Azure? Is there a way to do that?
So
we don't have to do HTML?
So you're still, regardless of how many clients you have in there, they're still gonna set up the name of your client, okay? So even if you had only the HTML client, you are still gonna get /HTML client, okay? That's still gonna be the URL, or whatever you named it, like, you know, Chris, you know, whatever it is. Okay, you can name it when it said add client, that was the name of it, the directory. Okay, any other questions? You guys like what you see? You think you can go back and try it out? All right, yeah, question? Go, Mike, please, yeah?
Can my database reside anywhere other than Azure?
Yes, okay. It can be on-prem, but when you deploy the application, you would also have to deploy the application somewhere that could talk to the database. Okay, so it would be on-prem, your own IIS server or something like that. Okay, thanks for coming. Have a good tech ed. Have a good flight home. Thank you very much.